Welcome to Link to Hope, a podcast from Kentucky Cancer Link. I'm your host, Ben Keaton. Until there's a cure for cancer, Kentuckians need hope today. Link to Hope is a monthly podcast featuring experts discussing ways to remove barriers for Kentuckians in need of screening, diagnosis, and treatment for cancer. In this episode, we're talking about cancer rehab with Dr. Audrey Stockwell, Director of Revital Cancer Rehabilitation Program at Cort Physical Therapy and Adjunct Professor at Bellarmine University. Before we get to the interview, I'd like to bring in Melissa Carr with Kentucky Cancer Link to talk about today's episode. Melissa, today's conversation is personal for both you and me. It's a topic that you've mentioned to me several times, and I'm involved with going through the classes. But I think the world of Dr. Stockwell and the cancer rehab program, and I think you'll hear a little bit about that in the upcoming interview. But I wanted to get from you a little bit about your experience, you know, with her and why this is such an important topic to you.
I'm so excited to have her speak about this topic. I've had the opportunity to know her both professionally in my former life in the physical therapy world, going through the cancer rehab certification, and then got to know her on a personal level too. And it's just such an important topic that I think not only needs to be learned more about within the healthcare world, but also for cancer patients, survivors, even after years and years, that can just advocate for themselves, that they don't have to live with whatever new normal they feel like they come up with after they finish their treatment, that it is an option for additional community and health. And I'm just really excited to talk to her today.
Well, without further ado, let's hear from Dr. Stockwell. Dr. Stockwell, thank you for joining us for a conversation today. Looking forward to talking a little bit more about the work that you're doing both at Bellarmine and at Cort. Can we just start with the idea of, you know, what is cancer rehab? I think a lot of people think about cancer treatment as, you know, chemotherapy and radiation, but there is, we've discovered on this podcast, there's far, far more to that, to making a person well. And one of the things that I've learned about is cancer rehab. So can you talk a little bit about what you...
Yeah, no, absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. I am very passionate about this topic and just increasing access to care and awareness. So first of all, thanks so much for having me here. So cancer rehab, it's definitely a specialty form of rehabilitation. And it can be performed by physical therapists, occupational therapists, speech language pathologists, but really it's all about helping patients either actively going through cancer or who have been through cancer treatments in the past, really improve their function and quality of life because of the effects of their treatment that they've gone through. So a lot of these patients will experience effects of their cancer treatments, and the cancer rehab is specific to addressing those specific effects and getting those patients back to their day-to-day activities, and sometimes even better than they were before their diagnosis.
One of the things that I thought was interesting, and just for full disclosure for everybody, I'm partaking in a program with Dr. Stockwell right now at Bellarmine University, which we'll talk about in a little bit. And Melissa is also taken some programs with her as well. One of the things that I was, you know, really surprised at, I think, was that the people who are benefiting from this aren't ones that are immediately receiving treatment or immediately post receiving treatment. I, for one, am 12 years outside of treatment, but still seeing a lot of benefits and learning a lot about myself from this. So can you talk a little bit about, you know, some of the specifics of what we're trying to address, and when is kind of the appropriate time for people to
Yeah, no, absolutely. So I think you bring up a great point, because a lot of people will ask that, like, when is the best time to go to cancer rehab or to participate in an exercise program specific for cancer survivors? And it's really any time, but, you know, when you're thinking about cancer and its treatment and the effects, you can have acute acute side effects from the cancer treatment. So I'm sure anybody listening who has gone through that or has a loved one that's gone through that understands that you can get cancer-related fatigue, you can get weakness, you can get nausea and vomiting that affects nutrition status, you can get neuropathy, which is numbness, pins and needles. If you have surgery, you can get decreased mobility, you can get pain. So a lot of these acute effects, that's a lot of times when people think of rehab more. How can we get their mobility back after surgery? How can we get the strength and stamina back while they're actually going through treatment? And that's absolutely part of it. That's absolutely what we do. But what we don't think about a lot of times is the fact that a lot of these cancer treatments have long and lasting effects, and sometimes late effects that occur years later after the treatment. So for example, for patients or individuals that have undergone radiation treatments, sometimes you can get stiffness and, swelling and things of that can occur years later. And this is something where rehab can absolutely help restore that mobility, improve pain, and help with that swelling later. The cancer-related fatigue, a lot of individuals, that doesn't completely go away once the treatment is done. Unfortunately, it lingers. And a lot of individuals are just thinking, oh, well, I made it through cancer. I survived. I just have to deal with this. But what they don't realize is that by doing exercise specifically, but also other specific rehab needs, that we can improve people's quality of life and function. They don't have to live with those effects.
Can you talk a little bit more about maybe the difference between exercise and mm-hmm. rehab? You know, for example, you know, I just kind of thought after my treatments were over with, I'd jump back into the gym and just start exercising and riding the bike and doing things like that. And what I'm learning is, you know, the more targeted the focus, the kind of the better the results, and that my needs might be a little bit different than, let's say, a normal person or an average
person. Yeah, it's a great question. And there's actually been some recent, a lot of recent studies on this. It's kind of interesting because it's a big question in the medical world too. When we're trying to get more medical providers to be aware of not only cancer rehab, but also the benefits of exercise. We have this whole campaign called Exercise is Medicine, and exercise is medicine for patients currently going through cancer treatment as well as who have gone through cancer treatment in the past. But the question is, who is safe to just go out and independently exercise on their own, and who actually needs a supervised exercise program? Who needs a supervised exercise program for cancer survivors with somebody who has knowledge of the specific needs for an oncology, an individual with an oncology history, and who needs targeted focused oncology rehab. So there's kind of been these algorithms developed in the research that kind of helps determine what service level does somebody actually need. So where we can basically break it down just for the general public is if you're actively going through a cancer treatment, then your best bet is to start off with a focused cancer rehabilitation professional, because there are some safety issues that come into play, and they can monitor for your vitals. They can check your oxygen level, your blood pressure, your heart rate. All of that can fluctuate because your cancer treatments can affect your body system. And we just want to make sure that the interventions that we're giving you that were safe. We may make exercise a part of your rehab intervention. In fact, we probably will and should, because that has been proven in the literature to be the best thing we can do. But we may start at a much lower level and slowly grade up according to your tolerance and what you can do while you're undergoing cancer treatment. We're also going to specifically address any specific impairments. So if somebody has neuropathy or pins and needles or something and a balance dysfunction, we're going to do specific targeted balance exercises. If somebody has tightness after a mastectomy, we're going to specifically do manual therapy to address any kind of scar tissue that may have happened. If somebody has a pelvic floor dysfunction, bowel and bladder dysfunction after a prostatectomy, we have special therapists for that. So any kind of specific impairment driven, that's going to be better from a rehab professional or while they're going through cancer treatment. Once you're finished with your cancer treatment, or if you're kind of on a maintenance cancer therapy, so you're, it's under control, it may not ever be, you may not ever be free of disease, but you're kind of in this maintenance therapy, that's when it gets a little bit more in this gray area of, okay, I think I might be able to go independently exercise. If you're living with certain conditions, like if you've got metastatic cancer, so if it's metastatic to the bone specifically, like that's where you would need somebody specifically, you know, with that oncology knowledge to give you safe exercise parameters. And there's other conditions too. So if you've got a stoma, if you've got, you know, if you've got a tracheotomy, if you've got certain kind of cancers, like a lung cancer, you might be better with somebody who has experience in that and can slowly ramp you up. So there's different criteria. It's, you know, best bet is always you could start with a rehab professional and then they could say, you know what, I think you're going to be good. Here's your community exercise program you could go to.
So speaking of you know, the rehab specialists, you know, are there, you know, specialized oncology rehab professionals? Is that a certification? Mm-hmm. And how does one go about finding somebody that can help with your specific issues?
Yeah, so the entry-level physical therapist gets some training in oncology, not a ton. So you want to be looking for somebody who is has done extra training in oncology rehabilitation. So whether that's physical therapy, occupational therapy, speech language, you know, whichever services it is, they need to have some extra training. There are some certifications out there that are newer. So it's not widespread. It's not like you could look for this one certification and say, okay, that's the person. So it's a little trickier, but you do need to be asking questions about if they have extra training in working with cancer patients or people who've had a history of cancer. That would be the question to ask. There are some resources out there that you can kind of, websites that you can look to see directories of those people, you know, in the state or in across the country. So that's where I would point people, because you're going to have probably a little bit better outcomes if you can find somebody that way. I will say there's not enough of us. We need more of us that are specialized in this. So I would venture to say that you are better served to get rehab from somebody than nobody at all, or better to have exercise than none at all. And to really just talk to your doctor about what's safe and take those parameters with you when you go to your exercise professional or your rehab professional.
And Melissa, I'm going to put you on the spot and bring you into the conversation because I know that this is an area that's of interest to you. And you've pursued some training in this, if I'm not mistaken. Is that right?
I did. My career prior to being at Kentucky Cancer Link was in the physical therapy field. And I did go for a year and I worked at Court Physical Therapy. Specifically was drawn to that because of their access to the cancer rehab program through a Revital program that they had. And so enjoyed that experience. I've also participated in cancer rehab through a different program, post-mastectomy, to work on the mobility issues that were discussed. And honestly have thought about, you know, going back just with some latent effects of, you know, going through chemotherapy, even though 10 years ago, I think it creates a little bit earlier breakdown, you know, in the body years later. So I think that I'm just really proud of this program, and I definitely agree that there needs to be more conversation between the providers and the patients, just to let them know what an important resource this is and how it can just greatly improve their ability to enjoy life post-treatment, during and post.
Yeah, Melissa, I'd love to get your take on you know, something that Dr. Stockwell said a little bit ago, and it's something that I think I struggled with a little bit myself, and that is that you don't need to just accept how your body is after treatment, and that there is always room for improvement, and specialized, you know, exercise programs can help with that. You know, how did you first find the, you know, a physical therapy program post-mastectomy? And, you know, what was your thought process in jumping into that?
Well, with my PT background, practicing as a physical therapist assistant, you know, I kind of realized that there was potential to help, you know, improve my mobility through through specific, you know, stretching and everything that someone else could, you know, put me through when I couldn't do it myself. So I really kind of advocated, you know, for myself, which I would encourage, you know, other people to always do and ask questions. I do think, you know, as you know, cancer treatment is such a roller coaster of emotions, and you have stages of just trying to get through it. And like you said, just kind of settling in with, okay, I survived. This is just, you know, a new normal. I think a big, you know, mental health piece goes along with it, to just kind of come through and kind of get that acceptance that it, that to kind of push you through that level. But it does take some, you know, it does take some effort, you know, to do that, because you think, gosh, one more thing I have to do. But there are so many benefits with that other thing that can just open up so many, you know, avenues of wellness. I love the term exercise is medicine. I, you know, personally, I wish that I could, you know, have that an ongoing thing. I think, you know, we all struggle with exercise regardless of our circumstances, of staying on track. And I personally do. I can't speak for everybody, but I think that it is just so true. I mean, so many benefits come from it. And, you know, this is just a really vulnerable population. And just, you know, as cancer treatments are more successful, you know, so many strides are being made where we're just going to have so many more cancer survivors. And honestly, also people that, you know, cancer could, you know, I think it already is in some ways for some people, would just be a chronic disease where it may be something they have to live with, but they're living. And so I think any way that we can, you know, help improve that is just so important. And I just appreciate, you know, Audrey so much, and that she's such a wonderful advocate for this program. And I agree, there should be, you know, so many more. So, and just be part of the normal conversation of treatment itself, just a very natural progression of the conversation.
Yeah, and I would agree. So I think it should be standard of care. Honestly, it needs to be standard of care. And I wanted to talk to, I liked what you said about, you know, I'm not a cancer survivor myself, but both of my parents are. And I was with, you know, I saw them go through treatment. That's part of the passion of what I have for this too. But I appreciate the fact, because I see this with my patients, and I see this with my, saw this with my parents, the fact that, you know, at the time of diagnosis, everything is so overwhelming. You have so many medical appointments. There's so many things. So the fact that you said, gosh, there's just one more thing or one more appointment I have to go to. But what we find is that this is the appointment that empowers these individuals to have control over something. Because it's like everybody's, they're being told, you have to have this surgery, you have to have this treatment, you have to have this. And this is a way that actually they have control over something that they can do during their treatment that's going to make them feel better. And when, because it's not like your typical, I think a lot of people equate therapy, if they've had a surgery in the past or they've had an injury in the past, they equate therapy to, oh, it's going to be like after my knee replacement where it hurts and I'm going to have to be going 3 times a week and it's going to be this strenuous activity. And that's completely different than what cancer rehab is. Cancer rehab is very much meeting you where you are, whether you're going through treatment or you're years later, but you're just super deconditioned. Like, this isn't a super strenuous program. It's very much, let's address where we are. We're going to start low, progress slow. You're going to have good and bad days, and we're going to work with that. The whole goal is to try to help you optimize your function while you're going through treatment so that you can keep doing the things that you love to do, or get back to doing the things you love to do after your treatment is done. It's not, you know, it's a completely different mindset than your regular, than what a lot of people envision therapy as. And so I think that once they realize that and they get in, they feel very empowered, and they're like, I would, you know, the biggest thing I hear from people is, I wish I knew about this sooner. I wish I knew about this sooner. Why didn't I know about this? And I could have been feeling better so much quicker. Yeah.
And I do feel like it's a very individualized process. You know, physical therapy is individual in that you have to kind of meet people at the stages of where they're ready to move. But there are protocols in place. There's protocols after knee surgery, after, and there's set goals that you're supposed to be reaching, and there's all this. But, you know, I remember in the training, they would talk about specific drug protocols and what those side effects were, and how you could work with that individual based on what drugs they were on and put together an exercise plan for them. And it's not like with a knee that you need to reach 90 degrees by, you know, 2 weeks. It's whatever your pace is what it is. And again, I appreciate that you said it's, you know, not the strenuous, you know, deal.
I'm gonna I've got to jump in here.
Well,
I'm gonna object to this because you all keep saying it's not strenuous, and Dr. Stockwell, I need to have a little conversation with the Amandas, Becca, and Natalie because my last workout like knocked me out. So,
Well, we can make it strenuous when you can take it. You're not actively going through treatment.
Individualized care, Ben. So you brought this on yourself. That's all I'm seeing from any of this.
Okay, 99.9 is not strenuous, but apparently
Well, but you know what that
9.1
goes to
is.
show you is, again, you can we can get you back to high level function, and we can get you back to, you know, what, you know, you can get to the strenuous point, you know, eventually. And I think that's the other piece, is that, like what we were saying, exercise is medicine, and you can end up working in that moderate to high intensity, and that's actually going to be better for you. There's been, you know, there's all these studies out there that show, you know, that you should be getting 150 minutes of aerobic activity per week, weight training 2 to 3 days per week. And the individuals that do that, especially with certain types of cancer, so particularly breast, colon, prostate, have 50 to 60, sometimes upwards of 70% reduced recurrence rates than those that do not meet those activity guidelines. And that's huge. I mean, it's
Wow,
huge.
that is huge.
So, I mean, we're.
I think you're just activating so many other parts of the body towards health that it can kind of maybe diminish those, you know, those cells potentially from turning in the direction they
Yeah,
wouldn't.
it's decreasing oxidative stress. It's decreasing insulin. I could get nerdy and get into all the science of it, but really, it's just, you know, so the goal is obviously to address the impairments that lingering impairments that survivors are dealing with, right? So whatever it is lingering. So if it's fatigue, if it's weakness, if it's stiffness and tightness, pain, you know, whatever it is, addressing that from an impairment standpoint, but then working towards a general exercise and increased physical activity. So, and not even just exercise, but increasing, decreasing sedentary time, increasing activity time, physical activity time. Like that is kind of the end goal, just to help improve overall health, but also recurrence rates. And that's where we want to go. And so that's where, you know, what we're trying to do, when you mentioned Bellarmine, that's kind of our goal. And the study we're looking at is looking at other outcomes.
Well, I'm glad that you brought that up because I really am very impressed with the Bellarmine program. So I'd love to talk with that, about that a little bit more. I'm assuming that the program is, kind of twofold. One that you just mentioned, which is looking at different outcomes, but also two, making sure that we've got the people trained who can specialize in this out in there. So can you talk a little bit about the genesis of this program and what you all are trying to accomplish?
So we've got a group of students. It's comprised of first and second year physical therapy students at Bellarmine University that are really the instigators of this project. This was kind of their baby, their idea. Wanted to do a oncology exercise class, if you will, and study outcomes of what participation in a 8 to 12 week exercise program would do for different outcomes. So the outcomes that we're looking at are pain, fatigue, and we're looking at global health, physical function. So several different kind of outcome measures, if you will. How does exercise affect that if once, you know, once they've participated in this program? And we're also looking at some objective measures too. So these tests and measures that we look at are measures of strength, balance, physical function, a lot of different performance-based measures that we can detect for overall quality of life and health. So we're trying to see the impact of an exercise program specific to oncology patients on those outcome measures and see if it helps any of those. So it's important because we're trying to kind of continue to follow in the footsteps that shows that exercise is beneficial, but we're trying to look at best ways to implement these exercise programs. So this is a group format. So we're getting not only quantitative data, but qualitative on, does the group dynamic work better than individual? Is supervised, you know, a good way to do it? You know, so we're trying to look at a lot of different variables. So that is absolutely the goal of trying to do that for the outcomes for the study. And then as far as, yes, you are right. And the hope by doing this is having some students within that physical therapy program get trained and specialized in the knowledge of an oncology rehabilitation specialist so that we can continue to offer these services, you know, wherever they end up going. Hopefully they'll want to go into the oncology realm.
Yeah, it's a terrific program, and I love being a part of it. And I think one of the observations that I've had that frankly surprised me a little bit is the level of engagement that some of the participants have that maybe have a lot more limited mobility or mm-hmm. strength, and you know how you can really build a program. You know, so I'm doing something a little bit more strenuous, and there are others there that are doing very similar work, but doing it on the level that is appropriate mm-hmm. for them. And so how we're all making a lot of progress, but it's very customized progress.
Yeah. And that's the piece too, is that, you know, when you're structuring these programs and you're implementing them, especially in a population with oncology, how do you, you know, the big question is when you're looking at these kind of community exercise groups, How do you stratify like, okay, these people need to be in this level, these people need to be in this level. So how do we look? And that might be future research where we look at how do we pair it, but, or do we need to? Because, you know, if we can have enough bandwidth to be able to modify on the spot, but everybody still feels part of the group, then we may not need to do that. So I think that would be an interesting kind of next step and next look, because I think it's a great observation, because you're right. We have kind of all abilities in that group. We have, what I love about this particular, our first year we did this, we had all women with breast cancer, which was great, but it wasn't a very diverse group of, you know, cancer types, right? And they were all we did have varying ability levels, but it was all the same cancer type. We have a variety of patients with different cancer types. So it's been able to be, it's been really nice to be able to see the different abilities, the different impairments that people bring to the table, and how the students can modify for that and adjust the exercise program while still being cohesive enough to be a program itself, a group program.
And I think it's important to have the diversity of different levels of impairment, because, you know, we all learn from each other, from experiences or just on a personal, you know, note about what's worked for someone else that they've maybe tried. Another program that I did during kind of post-treatment before some of my surgeries was Livestrong with the YMCA, is a very similar thing. And it was just as much sometimes about the community of it all as it was the physical activity. So I think, you know, where I was breast cancer, but a lady I will never forget was head and neck, and, you know, just, you know, having those experiences and helping support each other that way.
Yeah. And I, what would be nice is if we could figure out a way to implement these programs in the community at more frequency so that they could be offered in more places. The Livestrong program is fantastic. There's a program here in Louisville, the Baptist Milestone Clinic, that's great. But if we could do more of those to increase access for people across the state would be great. You know, so I wish that we could come up with a program that was reproducible, that we could take to different places that we could offer so that people could have access to oncology-specific exercise programs across the state, just to improve that access and awareness would be fantastic.
Well, I don't know if this is part of the study or not, but I'll concur with what Melissa was saying. You know, the group aspect of this to me is one of the most powerful parts of it. And you know, just having that camaraderie with people who have had some similar life experiences to you, even though we're all very different ages and very different, you know, phases of our treatment or post-treatment. But just, you know, having the conversations and being there and looking across the room and seeing them every Tuesday and Thursday is such a powerful part of it. You know, even if we're on different levels, we can still work out together. We can still, you know, have fun and play games. And you know, for me, it's a really powerful component of this and something that I don't think I fully appreciated before partaking in this.
Well, and I think you do bring up a good point, because I don't think I realize as much either. You know, oftentimes I will refer my patients to support groups like Gilda's Club or KAC, or, you know, there's all these different groups, and they meet in a setting where they're sitting around and talking, and that is fantastic. That's great. But I think being able to do something active together is just such a different level of connection. And it's a level where you're both, or you're all experiencing something new together, and you can bond through it. And it's kind of this shared journey that brings you even closer, because you have this other thing, that this other background of all having an oncology diagnosis, even though it's not the same, that bonds you. But so you kind of have a shared experience there, but now you have this new other shared experience. And I've definitely seen that connection, and it's been great to see.
So special shout out to all my ladies at the on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and then the students, and really the students are amazing, and I'm not going to let them listen to this, because I don't want to feed their egos, but they really are amazing, because they care deeply, and they're really, you know, working hard to better understand, you know, how we work and how they can help improve us, and you know, they, I can't wait to see them out in practice eventually, because they're going to be the future for making sure that we're addressing all the aspects of cancer treatment, not just the let's get rid of the disease.
Absolutely. They are the future of making cancer rehab standard of care. That is my plight to get more of these students up and coming, so we can continue to do that.
So let's close with this. Let's talk a little bit more about the, you know, making cancer rehab part of the continuum of care. You know, what are some next steps for you in that journey, and how receptive do you feel like the healthcare community is to this conversation?
You know, it's relatively newer. I think both to healthcare providers as well as the public, that they definitely don't automatically associate an oncology diagnosis with rehab at all. But some of the bigger organizations like NCCN, so National Comprehensive Cancer Network, who they're the ones that actually provide all the guidelines to the physicians for cancer treatment. So for example, if somebody's diagnosed with prostate cancer, testicular cancer, breast cancer, whatever it may be, those physicians are looking to those guidelines for how to treat that cancer. What's the latest and greatest? The good news is institutions like NCCN, ASCO, which is the American Society for Clinical Oncology, all these big name groups are recommending rehab as standard of care. So it's coming. It's coming from up above. It has not completely infiltrated yet, but it is coming. And many of the, in order to be commissioned as, you know, commissioned on cancer, to be certified as a cancer institute, you have to be able to show that you have rehab either on site or by proxy. So it's coming. But next steps, you know, our jobs are really to get out there, and as a patient, you can go advocate for yourself and ask for rehab services, even if you're 20 years out, but you still think you might have something that you're dealing with that can help. You could ask for rehab services if you or a family member are going through it right now. The more that we talk about it, and the more the doctors see those results, then the more they're apt to refer.
Great. Thank you for sharing all this information with us today. You know, I'm a huge fan of the program that we're going through and of this initiative. So I appreciate all the work that you're doing for me, but also for the community.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate you having me tell my story.
All right, thank you.